Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all here. I am the substitute for Richard today. I would ask you to keep him in your prayers, that he is having a time of refreshment and rejuvenation with his family. Also, pray prayers of praise that we have a wonderful minister who can bring us the word every Sunday. But I am subbing for him, and that subbing is a good word. I am a teacher by trade. I am not a preacher. So I have my notes, my lesson plan, if you will. I have a PowerPoint. I have questions written in here that I would not be offended at all if you decided to throw out some answers. I also have, as a new teacher, I'm learning time management issues. So I would ask for your grace if I go a few minutes long, or if a few minutes short. I think it will be the former. But as any substitute teacher has, there are some glitches. And this morning, I've already got my first one. I gave the somehow, I guess maybe through the telephone, we got the wrong scripture reading. And so, Matt, thank you for reading that. It will apply to what we're talking about. But I hope you'll just bear with me and open your Bibles with me in just a moment. We are going to be reading from Deuteronomy 34 and Joshua 1. So if you have your Bibles and you'd like to open those, that would be the place we're going to be starting. We closed 2018 in a matter of 36 hours, if I'm doing my math right. And we start 2019. And so I think it's only fair, it's only appropriate that we start, we end the new year, or end 2018 and start the new year by talking about that. So we're going to talk about Joshua. I'd like to spend a few minutes talking about how we can close the year and how we can start a new year. And I'm going to show you the end. I'm going to show you the answers. Any student loves a teacher who tells the answers ahead of time. And so I'm going to tell you what I would like to cover in case I do not make it through everything. This is what I'd like to talk to you about for a few moments. I'd like to focus on at the end of the year. I would like to talk about reflecting. And at the start of a new year, what should we do? I'd like to talk about pursuing strength and courage, pursuing leadership, and pursuing the Word of God. So let's start by looking at Deuteronomy 34. We're going to reflect. And we're going to reflect by looking at the view from the mountain we are on. All right? And would you look with me in Deuteronomy 34? And this is verses 1 through 12. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah, across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land, from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the Mediterranean Sea, the Negev, and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of palms, as far as Zor. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when I said, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it." And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor, but to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom, because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. So I'd like to ask you to think about your 2018. And as you move into 2019, think of it from the perspective of Moses climbing this mountain. And then 2019, we're going to talk about Joshua in just a minute. The first thing that happens is that God takes Moses to a mountain and shows him the view. not of where he came from, although he talks about that, but of where his promise is leading to, that is fulfilled in the land that was before him. It wasn't a pie in the sky land, it was a specific dimensions of land that he had promised to Moses and to the Israelites, and now he was fulfilling it. He showed Moses his legacy. He reminded him of his promises and that he was fulfilling them. And this must have been quite a sight for Moses. If you remember back in the beginning of Exodus, the Lord came to Moses, had a plan for him, and he was not too receptive to it. This is what Exodus 3 verses 7 through 10 says. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of Israel, of the Israelites, has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. This has been Moses' life, is leading the Israelites, and now here he is on this mountain, seeing God's fulfillment in front of him. Now, as we read here, he did not experience that any further. He died there, and that was because of his disobedience. And God was keeping that promise, too, that he would not actually set foot in that land. But here he is showing the fulfillment of the promises that he had made back in Exodus. This is a picture of Nebo. It kind of looks like the picket compound. If you look out at the picket's house, this is, might be what you'd see. Look how beautiful that is. That land in front of you, that is perhaps what Moses was seeing, okay? And it must have been bittersweet. It must have been joyful for Moses to be on that mountain saying, Lord, you've fulfilled this. You've brought us here. And certainly he was probably disappointed that he could not go into the promised land, but what a joyful sight it was to be taken to that mountain and see what was in front of him. So, have you come to a mountain? Maybe not the peak of your life, but are you on a mountain and can you see what God has done for you? Can you reflect and see the promises that he's fulfilled in your life? And can you see the joy? Do you have joy in that fulfillment? We see here that God had provided so much to the Israelites. He had provided so much to Moses. He had provided Moses as a leader. And I would suggest that we have that reflection, that we can thank God for the leadership that we've been given in this body, our elders. We have been provided for in that way, and we can be thankful for that and reflect in 2018 on the leadership our elders have provided us. And as a tease for 2019, can we hope for additional leaders? Can we hope for other men and women to step up and be the leaders that they should be? We've also seen providential blessings in our body, just as the Israelites did. They had been supplied manna. They had been provided water from the rocks. They had been provided protection, a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night, and many other provisions. And we can look back on our year and certainly see those provisions. And of course, obstacles, challenges, and goals. Perhaps you've had those this year. Undoubtedly, you have, just like they did. Have you experienced loss? Perhaps a family member passed away? A job loss? Relationship loss? Sin in your life? And sin in my life? Of course, we can all look back on our year and say that has been a part of it. But if we look forward to 2019, that's really where I want to spend most of our time. And here's what I'd like us to do, is I'd like us to look at Joshua 1 now. We were in Deuteronomy 34. We looked at what Moses saw from the mountain, and he died. And his legacy His life ended. His legacy did not, certainly, but his story ended right there. And we have now new leadership, a new year. Think of it as 2018 to 2019, transitioning from Moses to Joshua. And so I'd like to read and focus on these three areas: being strong and courageous, being a leader, and focusing on the Word of God, meditating on it, keeping it on our lips, and obeying it. So let's read Joshua 1. This is what I would hope for our scripture reading, but this is just as good a time as any to read it. Joshua 1, verses 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and be very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go throughout the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan, but all your fighting men, ready for battle, must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan towards the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. So we have a leader here, Joshua. His name designates his service, Jehovah Saves, or God's Salvation. And it was significant because it signified what he was going to do, his service he was to render. His name had been changed. Numbers 13:8, Hosea was his originally given name, and it changed to reflect what he was going to do as far as his service. In the same way, Abram, Sarah, and Simon Peter, their names were changed. So was Joshua's. Hebrews 4 speaks of the rest that Joshua gave the people. It talked about the rest he was offering to certain members of Israel. And it contrasts to the later rest that Jesus himself would give his people. So he'd been Moses' aide for his entire career. He was a servant. Moses was referred to as a servant of the Lord, and Joshua was his aide. He was not a young man at the time. He had a long career, serving in small ways, serving in large ways. You recall he was sent with the spies and Caleb, and he brought back a report suggesting they follow God's instructions and take over the land. But he had been appointed and designated a leader. In Numbers 27:18-23, It says, so the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit of leadership. I have that up here. That's very important. He was a man in whom is the spirit of leadership, and lay your hand on him. Have him stand before Eleazar the priest and the entire assembly and commission him in their presence. Give him some of your authority so the whole Israelite community will obey him. He is to stand before Eleazar the priest, who will obtain decisions for him by inquiring of the Urim before the Lord. At his command, he and the entire community of the Israelites will go out, and at his command, they will come in. Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and had him stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole assembly. Then he laid his hands on him and commissioned him as the Lord instructed through Moses. All right. The stage has been set for Joshua. He's been prepared. God has put him in places of learning and preparation to take on these leadership roles. He was given full leadership of Israel. He was also given various directions, as we read in Joshua 1, from God regarding his plan moving forward. He was also reminded of God's promise, given a history lesson, and given affirmation and encouragement about his future. He said in verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Ultimate success, he says, is his, because I will be with you. Nothing that Joshua is going to be on his own. Do we have a promise like that? We may not have promises to take over a land, but we do have messages of success if we put ourselves in Christ. Romans 8, 36 and 37 says, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to the slaughter. The people of Israel thought that they were going to be slaughtered by the giants in the new land across Jordan. Verse 37 in Romans, though, says, no, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So what we see in Joshua 1 is some examples that we can take towards our new year. First, be strong and courageous. Joshua was told himself to be strong and courageous, and he communicated that same message to his people. He was called to be bold in God. Moses himself, in Deuteronomy 31, a few chapters prior, had also been told, had also told the Israelites to be strong and courageous. Told Joshua to be strong and courageous. This is a repeated theme. This must have been something that was important. What does it mean to be strong? What is courage? Strong, there are multiple different definitions. I found 16 different definitions of strong. Strength. Striking or superior of its kind. Stronger resemblance. You bear a strong resemblance to someone. Having or marked by great physical, moral, or intellectual ability, attributes. Strong resources. You have strong wealth. Not easily upset or nauseated. You have a strong stomach. I like this one. Well established and firm. You have strong beliefs. Ephesians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And for us men, I love 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Well, what is courage? Here's the definition of courage. Mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. Doing something despite being scared or fearful of doing that something. One of my favorite speakers, his name is Dennis Rainey, and he always says, what is the most courageous thing you have ever done? He always starts, he likes that as an icebreaker. And if I asked you to think about that, what would you say is the most courageous thing you have done? You may read a story about Joshua and you say, well, that's courage. You go through and even what Matt read from Joshua 9, the courageous things that Joshua eventually did, he'd already done. But what is the most courageous thing you have ever done? If you went on thegoodnewsnetwork.com, you'd find some of these headlines. 2 hours after being trained, rescuers save a drowning skier from frozen lake using handy local inventions. Man uses his cast on his broken arm to shatter a window and rescue senior from burning home. These are courageous. 3 young men become heroes after saving a blind man who fell on the subway tracks. Those are examples of what we in our society, we think of courage as being. And they are. They are very courageous. We may look at other examples. Joshua was a warrior. He was going into battle. We've talked a little bit about the battle that we face, a spiritual battle. But we often think about courage from our military members, our service members. Our nation honors her sons and daughters who answered the call to defend a country they never knew and a people they never met. We think of those who have served, gave their life as being courageous. Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Oh boy, when I go there, I just think of the courage that these men and women had in their lives, in their service. This is one of my friends. His name is Derek. And he was telling me last night he has shrapnel in his arm. And he had comrades who were killed in IED explosions, and he was spared, but he has this lifelong memory, this scar, this injury that reminds him of his courage that he displayed in battle. We may not think, some of you have served, and for that I thank you, I commend you. Many of us have not. And so we think of courage in other ways. My son was courageous this summer. I went and took him on a weekend, a dad and son weekend, and we went to a place called Go Ape down in Rockville. And this is a treetop adventure where you go and you are harnessed in and you have to climb across. Look, you can see how tall the trees are, 30, 40 feet off the ground, and you have to make your way across these obstacles. It took him, an 11-year-old, some courage to jump off those and swing across. There was one, it was called the Spider-Man's Leap, where you are literally stepping off a platform and there is nothing holding you, and you are just swinging into a net. I wanted to put the video up here, but I couldn't get it to attach. You should have heard the manliest yell you've ever heard from an 11-year-old. Whoa! I mean, it was a step of off this platform, and it was a proud moment for Dad to hear the courage in his voice. But that wasn't even the most courageous thing he did that weekend. This was a time for he and I to talk about growth and becoming a man and to talk about some of the things that he was going to face as he becomes a man. And so it took courage for him to go through that and be there, but also to have the conversations we did. And his 2018 also included his time of saving faith and becoming a Christian. And certainly that took courage. So we look at courage in a lot of different ways. How have you been strong and courageous in 2018? Have you sought help for your marriage? Have you confronted a spouse or a family member about an addiction? Have you left an abusive situation? Have you stepped in front of a crowd and offered your Christian testimony, witness to a non-believer? These are just some of the things I thought of. I'm sure you can think of many others. Have you faced a medical diagnosis, confessed a sin to your spouse, your child, or a brother or sister in Christ? How will you be strong and courageous in 2019? In what ways will you need to be? I'm certain that this church will face trials. I pray God's mercy on it, but I find it very likely that we will bury one of our own. We may get medical diagnoses that are not good. You may have issues in relationships. There may be divorces. There may be separations. There will be struggling marriages, I can guarantee you. There may be children that leave the home and leave you with an empty nest. You may have aging parents. Members of this body may leave. There are a lot of things that we will face that we're going to require strength and courage. what will you do with that reality? Will you say, I will be strong and courageous? Will you say, enough is enough with this sin that I'm committing or that you are committing? Will you go to a brother and sister and say, enough is enough? Will you stand up for the weak? I encourage you, take this seriously. Joshua, Moses, the Israelites were repeatedly told by God to be strong and courageous. Leadership is the second. I'm doing okay on time, I think. Leadership is the second area that I would like to focus on. Leadership is a willingness to step up, to guide, to serve, to direct, to nurture, and to encourage. Joshua took the initiative. In verse 11, after being given direction from God, he immediately acted. He directed the people to prepare, to get their provisions ready. 3 days, prepare. We will be on the move. He convened the tribes in order to give further instruction about supporting their brethren. He reminded the Reubenites and the other two, half the tribe of Manasseh, I think, was one. I forget who the other. But he reminded them of the promise that they had made and the commitment they had made to support their brothers and sisters in other tribes to fight for them. He didn't say, it's not really my thing. I'd rather not pick someone else. He had been identified as a leader. He had been put in the position, and he said, I will take it and I will do it. Moses tried to sidestep it. He tried to say, please send somebody else. I'm not qualified. We know how that turned out. Moses became a great leader with God's help. But Joshua was ready. Similar to in Isaiah 6, verse 8, Isaiah said, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. Joshua was ready and he stepped up when it was time. Where is there a need for you to be a leader? How will you step up in 2019? We have examples of those in the Bible, examples in the Bible of mandates for us to be leaders. Husbands, fathers, you are mandated to lead your home spiritually. I am mandated to lead my home. Elders, you are directed to shepherd the church. Our leadership in these areas is not based on superior ability, but divine placement. You don't have the option. It's your calling to lead your family and lead this church. We have other examples in the Bible. We're not mandated, but it's people stepping into those leadership positions. We have an 8-year-old in 2 Chronicles, Josiah, who steps into leadership as king and leads Israel. We have wives in 1 Peter, examples of wives, how your actions can lead your husband. Is your husband not receptive to the gospel, to the leading that he is supposed to be having and committing to? Your testimony, the way you behave, the way you act, can lead him. We're also told as a body of Christ to support one another. In the same way, in verse 14 and 15, Joshua told the Israelites, but you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them. Joshua was telling his Israelites that they had a responsibility to help one another. And you as a church member, you as a part of the body of Christ, have this responsibility as well. And it doesn't matter if anyone else is responsive to you. If my wife and my children did not receive me as a leader, that is not my focus. My focus is to lead. And that is your focus. You have the responsibility. So how will you lead in 2019? If you are a follower of Christ, you should be a leader of Christians. I want to say that again. If you are a follower of Christ, you should be a leader of Christians. Certainly you should be reaching out to non-believers as well, but you should be leading Christians. So what will this mean for you in your home, in your church, in your vocational life? Will you lead your family spiritually? Will you commit to nurturing your children? Will you endeavor to lead your children to a relationship with Christ? Will you step out from complacency in the church and into true servant leadership? Simply leading a Bible study. Will you lead a Bible study in your home? What will you do with this mandate to lead? And last, the Word of God. Meditate on it. Keep it on your lips and obey it. Joshua is told to keep it on his lips. He's not told just to know it. He's told to keep it on his lips and meditate on it. Do not turn from the Word of God to the left or to the right. Let me go back and read that. Joshua 1, verses 7. Let's get that. Let's make sure we understand that. Joshua 1, verses 7 and 8. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Isaiah 30, verses 19 through 21 says, "People of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" The way of God, the way of staying right with God, is to stay straight on the path. And he tells Joshua, do not turn to the right or left. It's inevitable. With sin in our life, we are going to turn to the right or left. We must have the Word of God with us. The people had previously been told to focus on the Word of God. Deuteronomy 31, he says, "Be careful to do all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God." Deuteronomy chapter 11, 18 to 21. "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds, tie them in symbols on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth." One of my favorite verses, chapters when I was growing up, I memorized. I recall Psalm 1, David's opening psalm, and very likely he was referring and thinking back to the words in Joshua. "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night." So what do you meditate on? I meditate on life. You know, I don't know, meditate may not be the right word, but I think about life. I think about my wife. I think about my children. I think about my job. I think about you and what it means to be a part of this body. But am I really meditating on the Word of God in the same way I meditate and think on those things? Do you? And what words are on your lips? I have a friend who is a minister in Chambersburg, and in talking to him recently, he was telling me that one of his ministry efforts is at the local jail in Franklin County, among other things. And he was just struck, and it struck me when he said this, by the realization that occasionally it is more refreshing for him to meet with and study with and meditate on the Bible with the unchurched, the non-believer, than it is with his own congregation. That's a harsh reality. And I think that has to do with the fact that the Word of God sometimes to us becomes, I don't know what the word is, easy or old hat. And we are not looking at the Word of God with new, anxious ears. And I wonder, I pray that this is not the case, but I wonder if Richard would say the same thing, that occasionally he finds it refreshing to sit with non-believers in comparison to his own body, because we are not valuing the Word of God. It is not on our lips. We are not meditating on it. Before I get to this one, I'd like to read Luke 6. And this is maybe a good example of what I'm talking about. Luke 6, verses 43 to 45. No good tree bears bad fruit, or does a bad tree bear good fruit? Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. In 2 Timothy, Paul does charge Timothy, a minister, an evangelist, with the following, and I think it is applicable to us as well, even if we're not ministers, evangelists. He says, preach the word of God, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardships. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge the duties of your ministry. Are you ready to share the words of God with someone else? Do you meditate on them? And are they on your lips so that if the opportunity comes, you are able and ready to do it? Am I? We always say, I think we always pray, that when we leave this place, God will give us opportunities to speak to others. Are you ready if that happens? I ride with a co-worker, a teacher, to my job every day. We carpool for 40 minutes both ways. And picture the complete opposite of me. Whatever you have in your mind, that's who he is. All right? We couldn't be more different. But he is not a fool. He is a non-believer, but he is not a fool. He's extremely smart and intelligent. The other day, as we're leaving for Christmas break, he starts talking about the Christmas season. He starts talking about the wise men and the stars in the sky, and astronomy, and how that it all matches together for in the religious world, or people say it does. And he then went on for the 40 minutes as we rode together to describe his own religious experience. He describes himself as an atheistic agnostic. Do you know what that means? He described Christians, you and me, as a theistic Gnostic. Do you know what that means? The people we are encountering out there, the non-believers, are not fools. They are smart. And we must know the Word of God if we intend to witness to and to convince. All right? This is what I believe Paul was talking about, and this is what I think that Joshua was being told about keeping the Word of God on your lips. So, last slide. We're starting 2019 in a few hours. We must prepare for our own battle in the same way Joshua was preparing for the battles of that he was going to be facing with the Israelites. Read Joshua, the experiences, the falling back, the victories that they had. Joshua experienced the whole gamut. But he was ready to lead. He was strong and courageous. And he had the word of God on his mind. And we need to do the same. At the end of Joshua, he came back to the Israelites and called on them. He called on them to make a stand for the God of their fathers. He said, and this was after years, year after year of struggles, the battles. He says, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So in closing, let me ask you this. If you are redeemed, if you are one of the redeemed, what will this mean for your new year? If you are not a Christian, if you are not a believer, what will it mean for you? I love this summary here by preacher Jonathan Edwards in a sermon. I just saw this the other day. I thought it was fantastic. Great way to finish. If you are the redeemed, God himself is the great good. He is your great good, which are brought to the possession and enjoyment of by redemption. He is the highest good and the sum of all that good which Christ purchased. God is the inheritance of the saints. He is the portion of their souls. God is their wealth and treasure, their food, their life, their dwelling place, their ornament and diadem, their everlasting honor and glory. They have none in heaven but God. He is the great good which the redeemed are received to at death, and which they are to rise to at the end of the world. This is the future. This is the coming year. This is the coming years that we have if we are redeemed. And if you are not, I encourage you to reflect on this. Reflect on your 2018 and think about your 2019 and what you will be and who you will be it for. If you need prayers of the church, if you need to become a Christian, I encourage you to take care of that immediately. And we're here for you today if that is a need for you. I'd ask you to come as we stand and sing.